And so, Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 53 is where we're going to spend our time today. And here's what it says. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness, everybody say darkness. Everybody say darkness. Darkness came over the whole land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and offered him a drink. But the rest said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." But Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And they came out of the tombs after his resurrection, into the holy city, and appeared to many. Verse 52, the tombs were also open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and they came out of the tombs after his resurrection, entered the holy city, and appeared to me. I want to preach from the theme and thought today as we conclude our More Than Able series with this thought. It's time for you to live. Would you tell the person beside me your sermon, my sermon title today? Tell them, "Hey neighbor, I got a word from God. He told me to tell you, it's time for you to live." Father, we thank you for your presence and grace. Thank you, God, for your word that gives us hope and encouragement. May your word speak to us in this moment. I pray for any person in this place who is a servant, who is doubting, who is defeated, who is in darkness, that your word would bring forth fresh life, that your word would bring forth a breath of fresh air, allowing us to be able to live at the level you've called us to live at. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat. For God's goodness and grace, it's time for you to live. Now, church family, in this text, we see Jesus on the cross in his last moments before he would breathe his last breath. He is, as we know from the scriptures, suffering for the sins of humanity, meaning you and I. But my Bible mentions a detail that's important for us to see as we start this sermon. Because in verse 45, the Bible says this, that from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness, everybody say darkness, darkness came over the whole land. And the darkness here, seen, family, isn't just physical in nature, but also spiritual in nature. Some theologians would argue that it seems that all of nature is mourning over the death of its creator, the creator himself, the Son of God, the Father. Now, it's interesting that we highlight that word darkness, because darkness in the Bible is oftentimes equated with bondage. It's oftentimes equated with captivity. It's oftentimes equated with separation from God. Throughout the scriptures, you'll typically see darkness described in a multitude of ways. There is what we call spiritual darkness or bondage, which is due to sin. Then in some other areas, you might see mental bondage. Then in other areas throughout the scripture, you'll see emotional bondage. All throughout the Bible, church family, we see people in darkness and in bondage, lost and separated from God, in cycles of sin and strongholds, following the path of the enemy, which we also, if we're honest, see taking shape around us. Matter of fact, not just around us, but even in us. One of the words that's mentioned here in this text is the word tombs, and we see this word mentioned around verse 52. Now, the reason why I want us to see this as well is because tombs literally has a literal and a metaphorical implication for us today. The tomb represents a place of darkness. The tomb represents a place of death, a place that is dark in nature. It is a place where people who were dead would be buried and would oftentimes, in Jesus' time, be wrapped in some type of a burial garment, if you will. The dead bodies would be bound in what is known as grave clothes. We see this even when Jesus, after he died, was buried in the tomb, and the Bible says that he was wrapped in grave clothes. And as I think about that, I can't help but to think about and ask the question that I want us to wrestle with today. I wonder how many of us today are wrapped in bondage and in darkness in our lives. I wonder how many of us are living life and walking in life wrapped up in bondage and in darkness of some kind. Maybe for some of us, it's spiritual bondage due to sin. Maybe we find ourselves trapped in these cycles of wrongdoings and these cycles of going against God's word and oftentimes feel powerless to break free. Maybe for some of us, it's a mental type of darkness and bondage where we're dealing with how we view ourselves and we view ourselves in a low capacity, and we even view God in a low capacity. We have low self-esteem and don't see ourselves the way that God sees us. Maybe for some of us, it's emotional bondage where you deal with this persistent state of grief and despair, feeling overwhelmed constantly. Maybe some of us are here online and you find yourself dealing with this darkness and this dark place. Maybe for some of us spiritually right now, you're in a dark place where you're having a hard time seeing your way through and you're questioning, does God love me? And is he even real? And does he really have plans to prosper me and not harm me, as the scripture says? Some of us are in an emotional place of darkness where right now you feel emotionally vulnerable. You feel emotionally overwhelmed. Maybe for some of us, relationally, you're in dark places. Maybe your relationships are in a dark place right now. They're not in the best of place. Maybe physically, your health is in a dark place. Maybe for some of us, you're dealing with an addiction of some kind, and maybe you're dealing with some emotional hang-ups. I think if we're really honest, family, whether you're online or in person, if we're really honest, all of us under the sound of my voice, myself included, have had bouts with darkness. We've dealt with darkness and maybe are dealing with darkness right now. How we talk to ourselves in a negative light. How we think about ourselves in a negative light. How we're carrying situations that we're walking through in a negative light. Maybe for some of us, you're in a dark place and you've been a little suicidal. Maybe for some of us, you don't tell anybody about that, but you've been harming yourself and injuring yourself because you don't see yourself the way God sees you. Some of us are here today and you're in a dark place. If you're here today and you find yourself in a dark time in your life, I want to let you know this, that in spite of the darkness, in spite of the dark times that we might find ourselves in, the text gives us hope. Because if you go back to verse 45, it shows us that though darkness had filled the land, Jesus was still on the cross, and he's uttering words like, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He's uttering words like this to the criminal who was on one side. He says, "Surely I promise you, on this day, you'll be with me in paradise." He's on the cross, and he's saying words like, "Father, my God, why have you abandoned me?" He's saying words like to John and to Mary, "This is now your mother. This is now your son." And you may be asking the question, "Pastor, why are you reciting all the words that Jesus was mentioning while he was on the cross?" Because I want you to see an underlying principle of what he was doing while he was on the cross. That while he was on the cross, and while darkness filled the whole land, scholars believe it was a total eclipse, similar to what we experienced in different parts of the country some weeks ago. That the whole land, even in the middle of the day, was dark in nature. While it was still dark, Jesus was still working. That while it was still dark, Jesus was still speaking. While it was ugly on the outside, Jesus was still working things out for the good of humanity. And then finally, when he says on the cross, "It is finished," the Bible says in verse 51 that he would give up his spirit. And then in verse 51, notice what the word says. It says, "Suddenly," everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. Now, to understand this and the power of what's happening here, you got to really go back to the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, the temple was set up into three different types of compartments. You had what was called the outer courts, which was for us common people. Then you had the inner courts, which was for a select group of people. But then you would have the most holy place, or the holies of holies, which was only reserved for the high priest to be able to go in to make sacrifices on behalf of the people's sins. And only one time a year could that happen. It's what we would call in the scripture the Day of Atonement. And it was in the most holy place where the presence of God dwelt in the form of what we know as the Ark of the Covenant. So let me plainly put it like this. Not everybody could get into that most holy place. Not everybody had direct access to God. There was a veil that separated the common from the holy. And the priest who would go in there, if he was not right with God, when he would go in and make sacrifices, they would tie a rope around his waist just in case the brother would die. And if he died, they would have to pull him out. Because if they went there to get him themselves, they too would die. What is the principle? That you had the holy and the unholy. But when Jesus dies on the cross, the Bible says that that veil and that curtain, which some believe was about 60 feet high and 30 feet wide and thick, as thick as the width of a person's palm, that when it was wet, it took about 300 people to be able to actually move and to touch. So it was thick in nature, which means this, not anybody could tear this curtain. And so what happens is this curtain tears, this veil rips in half, and when it rips in half, it shows us this principle, that though we once were outside of intimate fellowship with God, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because he suffered on the cross for the sins of humanity, as the true high priest, he has now torn the veil. And those who were outside of intimate fellowship with God, meaning you and I, now have full access into the presence of God. I don't know if you're catching what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. When there was no way, Jesus made a way. When you and I were outside of fellowship of God, Jesus made a way. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad today that Jesus went to the cross and suffered for my sins and bled for my sins so that way I could have access to the presence of God. Thank God that he went to the cross. The veil was torn as a picture that what was once cut off, you now have access through faith in Jesus Christ. It shows that he made a way for people to come to God, and it even shows that he overcame sin and its darkness. Here's what I'm really trying to help you understand. Jesus made a way out of our darkness through his death and through his resurrection. And the reason why this is good news, family, is because it means no matter how dark things are, no matter how bad things are, no matter how much you struggle, no matter how much your sin is running up in your life, there is a way out of the darkness that you find yourself in. There is a way out of the stronghold that you find yourself in. There is a way out of the pain that you find yourself in. There is a way out of the sin. And it's not more money. It's not more alcohol. It's not more weed. It's not more drugs. It's not a new relationship. It's not another accomplishment. It's not a new degree. It's not a new car. It's not a new house. There's only one way out of the darkness, and that way has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful for the fact that Jesus is the way and that he made a way out of darkness? Can we take about 5 seconds and bless God for the fact that even in the midst of our darkness, he made a way? And that's some of your testimony today, that when things were bad, he made a way. When things were dark, he made a way. Thank God that we got a God who makes a way out of the darkness. He made a way. Somebody tell the person beside you, he made a way. He made a way. Thank God that in spite of our darkness and not being able to get out of it on our own, he made a way. I don't know if you've ever been lost before and needed somebody to show you the way. It's one of the most vulnerable, one of the most uncomfortable moments, because you feel lost. But praise God for the person who came in your life and showed you the way. Maybe you were lost on the highway. Maybe you were lost. I know we got GPS navigation, but every now and then phones fail, and we can't find our way. But in Jesus, we got somebody who will never fail. In Jesus, we got something that will never fail. In Jesus, we got somebody who will always show us the way. I want you to write this down, family. That thank God that in Jesus, we have a Savior who doesn't leave us in our darkness, but makes a way out of our darkness. I'm going to let y'all know something, family. God did not have to snatch us up out of the darkness that we found ourselves in. God could have let us stay where we were. He could have let us stay in the dark. He could have let us stay in bunch. He could have let us stay in a stronghold. But thank God that he loves us so much that he is willing to meet us where we are, even in a dark place, and to redeem us and to rescue us. And we see that here, family. And two of the most obscure scriptures are possibly in all of the Bible. And they're found in verse 52 and 53. Because the Bible says, after the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two, the earth quaked and the rocks were split. That had to be a strong earthquake. So much to the point, watch what the Bible says, the tombs were open. Tombs had stones that covered them back in Jesus' time. So for this earthquake to happen and for the stones of the tomb to be rolled away, that is a demonstration of the power of God. Can I pause parenthetically and let you know that if the power of God was able to open up tombs back then, surely the power of God is able to open up doors now. If God can open up doors then, surely he can still open up doors now. And this event here in Scripture, it is supernatural in nature. It is not something that's common. It is something that's extraordinary. But it makes sense because our God is the God who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. And the Bible helps us to see here, family, that this event doesn't just have spiritual implications for our lives, but it has natural implications for our lives. Why is this important to understand? Because a lot of times we'll limit the resurrection to just only having spiritual implications. And that's not incorrect, it's just incomplete. Because the resurrection of Jesus does not just have spiritual implications, but it also has everyday implications. Tangible implications. How do you know this, Pastor? Because the Bible says when the earthquake happened, the tombs were open. And not only were the tombs open, people who were dead came back to life. Not figuratively, not metaphorically, literally. This is the walking dead at a whole nother level. When Jesus died, family, the tombs were opened. God opened the door for spiritual deliverance, as we see, but he also opened the door for physical and everyday deliverance as well. And I'm grateful about that, because if God only helps us with our spiritual condition, then that's a limitation of his power. And though our greatest need is spiritual in nature, it's not our only need in nature. He doesn't, and it isn't just good enough to help us with our spiritual plights and conditions, but he's also able to help us with our everyday plights, which means he can help you in your career. He can help you in your relationships. He can help you in your home. He can help you on your job. He can help you in your marriage. He can help you in your studies. He can help you in your sin. He can help you in your doubt. He can help you in your discouragement. There is no limitation to the power of God. And if you're here today and you find yourself in a dark place, I want you to know this. There is hope in Jesus. If you came here today, it's sunny on the outside. But some of you are here today and you feel darkness on the inside. Darkness in your mind. You feel like emotionally you're in a dark place. I want to let you know this. You came to the right place today. Because there's good news and there's hope in Jesus. And just as he, as we talked about last week, can deal with a defeat and failure, he can also deal with your darkness. Here's number one, I want you to write this down. That when it comes to our darkness, Jesus does a few things. Number one, he restores us from our darkness. Tell the person beside you, he'll restore you. I love what the Bible says here in verse 52 because it says this. Tombs were also open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. This supernatural event happens as a result of Jesus' finished work on the cross and his resurrection. They were once dead, but now they have been raised back to life. The text illustrates the physical resurrection of the saints, symbolizing restoration from death to life. And this restoration is not merely physical, it is also spiritual. But it's not just spiritual, it is also physical. As Jesus' resurrection offers restoration from spiritual darkness to the light of God's presence, his resurrection also enables us to experience physical newness in life. He renews our life. The Bible says here that the many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now, we don't know who these saints are. We don't know if they lived in Jesus' time, and we don't know if they lived in previous time. We don't know if they were from the time that Jesus lived in. We don't know if they were from 2,300 years prior to this moment. Here's what we do know. They were good and dead. In the tomb, body decaying, body rotting, body decomposing. But yet the Bible says, though they were in the tomb, dark place, though they were physically dead, dark place, because of the power of Christ through the crucifixion and through the resurrection, they have been raised back to new life. Here's the principle I want us to see, that Jesus is able to restore us, to resurrect us, to revive us from whatever places of darkness we find ourselves in. If Jesus can resurrect some dead people who were dead for a while, surely he can restore us from our darkness as well. Maybe to get a better appreciation for this, I can give us an understanding of the word restore. That word restore, here's what it means. It means to bring back into existence. The word restore means that in spite of how dark our lives have looked, you and I can have a new life and a new beginning, which is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, as we talked about last week, that any person who is in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. I want you to go back 2,000 years ago and visualize this moment that's happening. These people, men and women of old, more than likely, were dead in tomb for some time. Their bodies had begun to rot. Their old bodies had begun to break down and decompose. I wonder when Jesus, through his power, enables them to be raised back to life. I wonder what their bodies looked like. Because the Bible tells us when Jesus was resurrected, he had a new body. He had the wounds in his hands, but he had a glorified body. His body was renewed. And the Bible talks about how we also, as we're being transfigured into his image, and when we transition into heaven, that we would transition into eternal life, that you and I will have brand new bodies. This earthly body, Paul says, this earthly tent that we had that decomposes and breaks down, we won't have the same issues due to sin in the world causing our bodies to break down. The resurrection is a preview of what's to come. So I wonder what their bodies look like now and look like in the moment. I wonder if the skin that was decomposing all of a sudden began to put itself back together when he called them out of the grave. I wonder if the blood that wasn't circulating all of a sudden began to circulate through the body. I wonder if the eyes that were blind because of it decomposing all of a sudden had restored and renewed sight. I wonder if the hair that was lost, come on, some of us are going to identify with that. Jesus, help us here. I wonder if the hair that was lost had begun to be restored. I wonder if mobility that was once there but has been lost due to death has now been restored. Obviously, it has to be because they were raised back to life. And if he can put our bodies back together at the power of his word, surely he can put our lives back together as well. Because any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old is past and the new has come, which means this: when you make the decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are not who you used to be. You are new now. And so when people say to you, you got brand new, absolutely I did. I am not who I used to be. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, he gave me a new life. He gave me a new future. He gave me a new destiny. He gave me a new purpose. I'm new now. Tell the person beside you, I'm brand new. Brand new. And when you're brand new, you got some newness to you. Can I tell y'all this? Ain't nothing like a brand new car and a smell with it. Can I confess? Sometimes, y'all, I just go to dealerships just to sit in the car, just to smell the car. Man, it smells so good. Are you in the market? Yeah. Sure. I'm just here for the smell, bro.
Can I say, there's nothing like the new smell of a pair of shoes. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, that's chemicals. Them chemicals smell great. Okay, what you say? Because the smell represents something that has not been used before. It's new. Can I help you understand something? When you say yes to Jesus Christ, you got a new scent on your life. You got a new calling on your life. You got a new purpose on your life. God specializes in reviving people who find themselves in dark places. How do you know this, Pastor? Because Ephesians chapter 2 tells me. How do you know this, Pastor? Because the Bible says it. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. And you, come on, watch this. In verse 1 of Ephesians 2, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Look what Paul says. And you were dead in your trespasses. You, meaning all of us, meaning the person sitting next to you, was dead in our trespasses. Why? Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We were born into sin and shaped in iniquity. Paul says, you were dead in your trespasses, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out, watch this, the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, meaning this, you did whatever you thought and whatever you felt. You thought you were in control, but it was really your flesh in control of you. He says this, and we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. Verse 4, here's where it shifts though. But God. You were dead, and you were in the dark. But God. You were lost, and you were hopeless. But God. You were confused, you were angry, and you had no idea how to make it out of the situation you're in. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, watch verse 5, he made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses. You are saved by grace. Here's where it gets gooder. It's not good English, but it's good theology. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. I'm here to let you know that when you and I found ourselves dead in our sin, dead to God, dead spiritually, God sent his son Jesus Christ to renew us and to restore us and to revive us and to raise us up out of the darkness into his marvelous light. He says, you are saved by grace. Here's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Here's what he says. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. When I think about domain, it's the word, it speaks of territory. So here's what Paul is saying God did. God went into the territory of the enemy that said, no trespassing. Big dog here. And God went into the gates of hell through his son Jesus Christ, punked the devil, and said, I'm coming in here to get these keys. I'm coming in here to get my people. I'm coming in here to set my people free. Thank God that we got a God who goes into the domain of darkness and snatches us out from the hands of the enemy. And I just want to know, is there anybody grateful today for the fact that our God stepped into the domain of darkness and rescued us? Come on, don't look at me like that. Y'all know exactly where some of y'all were when God found y'all. Some of y'all were in the club. Some of y'all were high. Some of y'all were drunk. Some of y'all were sleeping around everybody. But then God stepped in and saved your soul. Then God stepped in and revived your soul. Then God stepped in and brought new life. He rescued you. He saved you. Saves you. Come on, let's keep it a stack. Let's be 100 about this. Let's be honest about it. All of us got some stuff that we're not proud of. Come on. All of us got some sick. Come on. Don't look at me like that. Come on. Online, talk to me because they're not talking to me in here. All of us got something in here that we know that God has saved us from. Come on. Some of us got saved from sexuality and sexual things. Some of us got saved from financial things. Some of us got saved from our past. Thank God that we got a God who's rescued us. He saves you. He rescues you. Thank God that we got a God who will pull up on the enemy and say, give me my son back. Give me my daughter back. He stepped into the domain of darkness. saved us and rescued us.
When I think about the stuff that I got myself into that I couldn't get myself out of, but then God made a way, that's his salvation. That's his deliverance. Come on. I'm talking to my people who are real in here today who can say, I got myself in some stuff that I had no business getting out of. But God, who was rich in mercy, made me alive in Christ, redeemed me, and saved my soul. Thank God that we got a God who steps in the darkness, saves us. Saved us from some stuff. Redeems you from some stuff. Some of y'all were saved from some stuff that you told nobody about. It's been between you and God this whole time. He saved us and he redeemed us. And in verse 14 it says, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Can I help you understand something? When you and I ran up the sin debt, Jesus paid for it all on that cross. In him, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And the writer of Psalms 18:28 says, Lord, you light my lamp. My God illuminates my darkness. Some of you have been trying to find your way out of darkness through substances, through working, through making more money. You think the way out is by making more money? No, the way out is by leaning on Jesus and following him. He is the one who illuminates my darkness, which helps us to see you and I will walk through some dark times, but we got a God who never abandons us. We got a God who meets us in the darkness. Thank God that he doesn't leave us in the darkness, but he meets us in the darkness and he rescues us from the darkness. And if you're here today and you find yourself dealing with darkness and you're in the dark place spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or relationally, I want you to know that Jesus has come to bring forth restoration. He wants to bring new life to you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to free you. He wants to save you. He wants to renew your life and bring you new life. All throughout the scripture family, Jesus, you will see Jesus dealing with domains of darkness. He healed people who were demon possessed. He healed people who were suicidal. He forgave people of their dark past. He is the master of restoring and rescuing people. I don't know if you guys may remember the show from early 2000s that I used to love to watch on MTV called Pimp My Ride. My man Exhibit hosting the show. And in case you're not familiar with the show, how the show would take place and go down is Exhibit would take one of the most worst cars that nobody want to have anything to do with. Broke down, missing tires, missing rims, radios don't work, car filthy, car dirty, missing parts, barely running. But by the time it got to the shop and the mechanics put their hands on it, the episode started with a busted ride, but by the end of the show, it was what he called a pimped out ride. Can I help you understand something? God is not trying to pimp out your life, but what he is trying to do is what I like to call to gospel your life, to bring good news to your life, to restore your life, to renew your life, to transition your life from darkness to life. He restores us from darkness, but he not only restores us from darkness. Here's the second point. He releases us from darkness. Because it's one thing to be restored. It's something different to be released. How come I say that? Because look at the text. Notice verse 52. The tombs were also open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, meaning that they were restored and brought back to life. Verse 53, though, and they came out of the tombs after his resurrection. They came out of the tombs after his resurrection, entered the holy city, and appeared to many. The powerful truth about this passage is rooted in these few words. After his resurrection, Jesus died, but then was raised back to life. And it wasn't until, the Bible says here, after Jesus resurrected, that they were able to now come out of the tomb. They were dead, but now they've been made alive. But though they've been made alive, the writer here helps us to see they were still in the tombs until after he was raised and resurrected. Here's the principle I want us to begin to see. It helps us to understand. Don't miss this. You can have new life in Christ, but still struggle with some old ways. You can have Christ in your life, but still have the residue of bondage on your life. You can still, even if you're in Christ, find yourself in a dark place. Pastor, how can you say that? Because if you go back to the Old Testament, look at how God, when he delivered the children of Israel in Exodus, God brought his people up out of Egypt, but still needed to bring Egypt up out of them. They still had some Egyptian ways about them, even though they were no longer in Egypt. How do you know this? Because when the Bible talks about how they were delivered through the Red Sea and Moses is leading them, God calls Moses to Mount Sinai, where he's on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and there he gets the Ten Commandments. The people of God thought Moses was dead, and they're talking to Aaron. Aaron, you're our new leader. Create a God for us that we can worship as the one who delivered us. And the Bible says that Aaron takes this gold and he manufactures a golden calf. Now the question that I'm going to ask is, where did this idea for a golden calf come from? Where did they get this idea of a golden calf? Well, if you do some study on Egypt in the time that they live in, one of the false gods that the Egyptians would worship was oftentimes in the form of a calf. And so what they've done now is they've taken remnants of bondage from their past and have carried them now into their present. There's still some practices from Egypt that they got. There's still some perspectives from Egypt that they have, and there's still some proclivities from Egypt that they have. And even though God had delivered them from Egypt, Egypt was still in them. Why am I saying this? Because I want us to understand, it's one thing to be restored and have new life. It's another thing to actually be released to live that life. And we see that here in this text in Matthew 27. Because though the saints were raised, the Bible says they were still in the tomb. They were still in this place. More than likely still had these grave clothes. But the good news is this, that Jesus not only wants to restore us from darkness, he wants to release us from it. That because of the resurrection of Jesus, the people were once dead and now alive. Now, family, they have permission to walk out. They have permission to leave this place of bondage that they found themselves in. Here's what I want us to see, family. That because Jesus is alive and has conquered darkness, sin, evil, principalities, you and I now have permission and authority to leave our dark places. You and I don't have to stay where we are. You and I, because Jesus and the empty tomb of Christ, have permission and the power to leave our dark places. I want you to write this down. I'll say it like this. The resurrection of Jesus is the door of deliverance from our darkness. This is why Jesus says, not only is he the way, the truth, and the life, but he also says something like this, I am the door. So if you're looking for a way out of what it is that you're dealing with, he says, I am the door. If you're looking for a way out of the darkness that you've been wrestling with, he says, I am the door. I am the exit. I am the way. Thank God that he shows us the way and that he is the way. And all this year in 2024, if you're new to our church, the word that we've declared over our church is that this is the year of release. And we say this because in John and Luke 4, Jesus says that he's come to set the captives free. And some of us are captive in different situations right now. Some of us are captive in our minds. Some of us are captive in our emotions. Some of us are captive with addictions. But Jesus says he has come to set you free and to release you from that. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So because of Jesus, here's what I want you to understand. Because of Jesus, you can come out of the darkness that you are staying in. Because of Jesus, come out wherever you are. Because of Jesus, you don't have to hide in the darkness any longer. You can be free in Christ, because now through faith in Christ, you are free. That because of Jesus Christ, you are what the Bible says you are. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. That because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are able to be able to do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That because of the resurrection of Christ, you can say this: greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Because of the great resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can say what Paul says: what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing in this world can. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can sit here and say, I am loved by God. I got a purpose from God. I got a destiny from God. I got a future from God. Thank God that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I am who he says I am. And I can hear what some of us are dealing with right now, because some of us are like, Pastor, I did this, so that means I am this. I'm here to let you know, as I said last week, failure is an event, not a person. You are not what you did. You are who God says you are. When you say who you are, who you are in Christ, and when you say yes to Jesus, when you say yes to him, and when you devote your life to him, and when you put your faith in him, you are now no longer, as what Jesus will say, a child of the dark. Now you are a child of the light. You are part of the kingdom of God. But Pastor, I don't feel like I'm free. I'm here to let you know that because of Jesus Christ, your faith in him makes you free. I am who I am in Christ. I am now in Christ, the righteousness of God. It means that I am righteous not because of what I've done. I'm righteous because of what Jesus has done. I am who God says I am. I am released from the darkness. Can I let you know this? You have permission to leave the darkness that you've been living in. Some of us have made darkness our home. Jesus says, it's time for you to walk out of that. It's time for you to leave that. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 8. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11. Don't participate, watch this, in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. Here's what Paul is ultimately saying. You are no longer dead, and you are no longer in the domain of darkness. So no longer do you have to live like you are dead. You are now alive in Christ Jesus. And because you are alive, he has put his name on you. And because he's put his name on you, now you can begin to walk in accordance to what his name represents. His name represents love, and his name represents peace, and his name represents joy. His name represents righteousness. This is who you are now. This is your identity. You once were dead, but now in faith, you're alive. He says, this is your new reality. Here's what he says to the church in Rome, in Romans 13. He says, the night is nearly over and the day is near. He's talking about the eventual coming of Christ. So he says, so let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk with decency as in the daytime, not in carousing, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not in promiscuity, not in quarreling, not in jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. I'm here to let you know that when you said yes to Jesus, or when you say yes to Jesus, y'all, you got a new identity now. You got a new wardrobe now. You don't got grave clothes anymore. No, you are clothed in righteousness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on love and put on hope. Put on self-control. Put on joy. Put on peace. Put on goodness. Jesus has enabled you to overcome the darkness. Jesus, with him now, you can overcome your ailments. You can overcome your afflictions. You can overcome your addictions. I know some people have told you bad news, and they say, this is just something you're going to have to struggle with for the rest of your life. But here's what I know from the Bible, what God says, that if he be for you, who in the world can be against you? That no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. And I'm here to let you know that if God can get his son Jesus up out of the grave on a third day, surely he is able to do something with the affliction and the addiction and the ailment that we find ourselves dealing with. So I reject the lie that the enemy has begun to speak over our lives. This is just how your life is always going to be. No, you are who God says you are. You will live, you will not die. What do I mean by that? It means that you will live according to the plan of God and the purpose of God and the power of God over your life. You are exactly who he says you are. You are chosen and you are redeemed and you are loved by God. You've been made righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. You are who he says you are. It's time for you to begin to reject the labels of culture. You are not what they say you are. You are who God says you are. I want to close with this thought, because when I was thinking about how these old saints and the Bible says how they were in the tomb,
but how they left the tomb. And they began to appear to many different people in the holy city, having conversations with people. I thought about my childhood and how in order to be able to go to certain places while I was in school, to go to a certain room or to go to a certain place in school while school was happening, you needed what was called a permission slip. Where my permission slip people at right here? Go on a field trip, need a permission slip. The permission slip authorizes you to be able to go to whatever destination you have been invited or summoned or called to go. And when I thought about this text, I thought about the resurrection and the permission slip and how the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate permission slip that enables me to come out of the darkness and to step, as what 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, into his marvelous light. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I have permission to live at the level that he's called us to live at. You and I have permission to leave the dark place in our minds, in our souls, in our bodies, in our lives. You and I have been granted permission and authority to leave the domain of darkness and to walk according to the kingdom of light. And I'm here to give you this prophetic word of encouragement today. Some of us are here today and you've been in the tomb too long. You've been in darkness for too long. You've been in this place long enough. But the word from God today is this: it is time for you to live. It is time for you to get up. It is time for you to walk out. It is time for you to live in spite of what you've been trapped in spite of what you found yourself in bondage in. It is time for you to live. And at the end of verse 3, it says these words, that they raised, they came out the tomb, and they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. You know what I wonder in this moment? The believers' new lives are a testament of the resurrection power of Jesus. But I wonder, can you imagine the conversations with people that they're having? I wonder what the conversations were like. Like, hey man, ain't you been dead for 30 years? Wait a minute, is that my grandmother? We buried her 20 years ago, but she's come out of the grave. She's alive. Can you imagine the disbelief that some of these people are probably in? They're in the holy city, they're appearing to people. It's a good chance that some people are seeing some friends. They're seeing some family members. They're seeing some saints of old, possibly. But it is a testament to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And can you imagine the conversations? You were buried. You were dead. You were lost. You were gone. What happened to you? And I wonder if the people will say, I don't know. But God, I was dead. All I remember was falling asleep. And next thing I know, I heard somebody's voice that come out of the grave. And it sounded like it was the Son of God. And I got up out of the grave, and I walked up out of the grave, and he gave me a new life, and he gave me a new destiny, and he gave me a new opportunity. And I'm here to let you know today that God is the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. I'm here to let you know that no matter what it looks like, no matter how dark life is right now, I'm here to let you know that God specializes in reviving. He specializes in restoring. He specializes in resurrecting. And if God, through Jesus, I want you to get this in your heart. If Jesus is able and was able to overcome his death, he is more than able to overcome your darkness. He was able to cheat death, to beat death. Do you not think he can handle your darkness? Some of us have had some dark things in our lives that we haven't told anybody about. You haven't told anybody about your addiction. You haven't told anybody about the fact that when you go home, you contemplate ending your life. You haven't told anybody the secret struggle that you have with your identity.
You haven't had them conversations with anybody. Can I let you know this? God knows about what you're struggling with. And he doesn't bring condemnation. He brings restoration. He's come to bring forth a restoration. This is why Jesus says in John 10 and 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what the enemy has done for many of us for so long, he's robbed you of things. He's robbed you of hope. He's robbed you of purity. He's robbed you of joy. But Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come to restore. I have come to renew. I have come to set captives free. I have come to bring a release. I have come to bring a breakthrough. I have come to bring a healing. I have come to tell you it is time for you to live again. It is time for you to get up out of the grave. It is time for you to no longer be limited by the lies of culture and the lies of the enemy. It is time for you to walk in the power of God. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe that I'm talking to some of you here today, online and in person. There's been some darkness that you've been dealing with. There's been some struggles that you've been having. And the darkness, I don't know who this is for. I feel like it's for some of you. The darkness that you have found yourself in, it has caused you to put down the call of God that's on your life. It has caused you to question your own abilities. It has caused you to question the calling and the anointing that he has on your life. But the mere fact that you're here today is evidence and proof of the fact that what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn for good. He's brought you good news today to let you know it's time for you to come out of the darkness. No matter how long you've been hiding behind that struggle, hiding behind that sin, hiding behind that shame, it's time for you to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, this afternoon, I want to give you this invitation to come out of the darkness and to step into his light. And the way that you do that is by saying yes to Jesus. It's by giving your life to him. You've turned to a substance. You've turned to a relationship. You've turned to a career. You've turned to a bottle. You've turned to a blunt. And it did not help. If anything, it added to the darkness. But here's what I want to invite you to do. If you would let Jesus in, here's the good news. The Bible says he is the light of the world. And he will bring light to your dark places. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want a new beginning with Jesus. I've been dealing with darkness for so long. And I want to come into relationship with him. I want a new beginning. I want a fresh start. I want to give him my life. I'm ready to live. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If this is you, and you're under the sound of my voice, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hands up. My heads are bowed. It's between you and God. If you're here today and you want a new beginning, you want to start fresh with Jesus Christ, you want a relationship with him because you've never entered into a relationship with him. Or maybe today you have a relationship, but you strayed away. Today you're coming back. On the count of three, would you shoot up your hand? One, two, three. If this is you, today you want to come back to Christ. Today you want to say yes to Jesus. Come on, if this is you, amen. I see your hands. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, if this is you. If you're online, this is for you as well. If you're here today and you're saying, I want a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to say these words after me. The Bible says if you confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that he is Lord and that he was raised back to life, that we will be saved, rescued from darkness to light. Would you say these words? Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you came for me, that you died for me, and that you raised back to life for me. I receive your life. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? Thank you for salvation. Thank you for new beginnings. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church. Can we celebrate the hands that went up? Come on, I saw some hands go up today. Amen. We're going to close our service in a special way in a moment, so I want to invite us to not move. But if you're here today and you said yes to Jesus Christ, here's what I'm asking you to do, in person or online. If you're in person, I want you to know, and online, you've made the greatest decision that you will ever make. New life starts now. Your new life starts today. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I want you to take that white connection card in the seat pocket in front of you or the one that you're sitting in, And if all of us could actually take out the card for the sake of those who are coming to Christ, we don't want anybody to feel ashamed or embarrassed or put on the spot. But if you're here today and you prayed that prayer, you raised your hand, you said yes to Christ, you want a new beginning, I want you to fill out that card and check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. At the end of service, after we close out in prayer, I want you to take that connection card to the tent outside because our prayer team is there. We got a gift that we want to give you, and we would love to pray with you and celebrate with you and help you continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. If you're online, all you got to do is text I decided to 94,000, and we'll connect with you and help you take your next step there. Amen, somebody. Come on, can we celebrate one more time? Those who said yes to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Remember, right after service is done, we're going to have our newcomers connection. We got free lunch here. We would love to meet you, love to connect with you. Love to get to know you a little bit. But then also, if you're here today, you want to honor God with your giving. On the screen, we got our different ways in which we honor God with our giving. Our giving is an act of worship. We give to God because he is first given to us. And when we give to God, we don't give him leftovers. We give him our best. Because in Jesus Christ, God gave us his best. Amen? So our giving is a response. And I want to say thank you, church family, for honoring God with your generosity. Because through our church and through our giving, many lives are being touched. Many people are coming into the kingdom of God because of our generosity. Amen? Well, I want to close this service in a unique way, in a special way. We oftentimes will do this from time to time. Just when I sense that there's some heaviness that God wants us to leave behind. Some newness that he wants us to step into. If you're here today and this message, you know, really connected with you, we're going to close out in prayer. But I want to invite those of you in here today who find yourself dealing with some darkness in your life, and you're like, man, today has gripped my heart, and I want to start fresh, and I want today to be the marker of the moment where I left and walked out of the tomb and stepped into new life. So if this is you, I want to invite you to make your way down to the front. I'm going to close out corporately in prayer. But if this is you, and there's no shame in this moment at all, if you're here today and you're like, man, I got some hang-ups, I got some strongholds, come on, if this is you, make your way down to the front. I don't care who you are, doesn't matter what your age is, maybe there's some darkness right now swirling around in your life, in your home, in your relationships. I want you to know that this is for you. And if we could bring those lights down, just tap it. I want you to know that God is for you, he's not against you, and that he has new life for you. It's time for you to live. It's time for you to live. God has great things in store for you. And the enemy has done everything he can to stop what God wants to do in your life. It has not succeeded because you are still alive today. And you have a purpose on your life. You have a calling on your life. So if you're here, to make your way down to the front. If you're online, I want to invite you to lift up your hands. Matter of fact, I want to invite us all to lift up our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. They thought he was dead, but on the third day, he rose back to life. And we thank you that because of the resurrection, we too can live again. We too can live the life that you've called us to live. So I pray over every single person who finds himself in darkness, confused, worried, stressed, anxious. God, in the name of Jesus, would you bring forth a fresh oil of restoration in their lives? Would you bring forth a fresh release? I pray that you would release your favor on their lives, that you would release greater freedom over their lives, that you would release a greater sense of a future and identity. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that where there are strongholds and chains, that they are broken. God, we believe in faith that if Jesus was able to get up from the grave on the third day, that surely through him, we too can get up out of that grave. Surely we too can get up out of darkness. Surely we too can move forward and live again. Father, I pray against every weapon that has formed against your people in this place. We thank you because though weapons have formed, they have not prospered. We thank you because you have always been at work. We thank you that even in the dark times, you were still speaking. We thank you that even in the dark times, you were still at work. And so, God, I pray for a fresh anointing over every single person in this place and online right now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would begin to break strongholds, that you would begin to break addictions, that you would begin to break low self-esteem. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would begin to bring forth a renewed life. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, because in you there are new beginnings. You've called us into the kingdom, a marvelous life. We give you praise for it even now, and we give you worship for it even now. In Jesus' name, and every person that said amen. Come on, can we celebrate God for his goodness today? Come on, can we give him a hand clap of praise? Come on, he's at work. This is a day of new beginnings. He is more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or imagine. Your greater days are not behind you. Your greater days are in front of you. It's time for you to live again. Amen, somebody. Do you receive that this morning? Come on, do you receive it today? It's time to live. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he give you hope. May he give you peace. May he enable you to be able to walk in the new life that he made available to you through the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, who you are. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and celebrate God. God bless you, family. We love you. Hug somebody on the way out. Tell them it's time for you to live again. We'll see you next week.